Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
I had never written for a magazine before. And she said, yes, I am talking to you. And I ended up starting to write for that magazine. And it was an amazing, I found my love. And she was an incredible mentor because she taught me how to write for magazines, how to pitch.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of Smashing the Plateau. Today, we have the pleasure of talking with Erica Holthausen, the innovative founder of Catchline Communications. Erica's journey is a testament to the power of resilience and the pursuit of passion over a traditional career path. Despite being dyslexic and facing doubts from others, she navigated from the dream of a law career to the realization that her true calling lay elsewhere. From practicing law to living on a school bus while studying the environment, Erica's unique experiences have culminated in her current role, where she leverages her talents in writing and editing to help consultants amplify their voices. In this episode, Erica will share her remarkable story, shedding light on how she pivoted from a legal career to empowering experts in sharing their knowledge through respected publications. She'll offer invaluable insights into the importance of curiosity, mentorship, and the willingness to ask questions as pivotal steps in crafting a successful and fulfilling business. Whether you're considering a transition in your career or seeking ways to enhance your visibility and establish your authority in your industry, Erica's transformative experiences and practical advice are sure to resonate and inspire. So if you're ready to break through to new opportunities and create a body of work that commands attention, join us as we delve into Erica Holthausen's expertise on building authority through strategic communications.
Now let's welcome Erica Holthausen. Erica is the founder of Catchline Communications. She equips consultants with the tools they need to develop and share a body of work that builds their authority, increases their visibility, and opens the door to new opportunities. Drawing on her experience as a freelance writer and editor, she guides her clients through selecting, pitching, writing, and publishing articles in industry trade journals and business magazines like Harvard Business Review, Inc., and Entrepreneur. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm delighted to be here.
Erica, you didn't follow a linear career path, did you?
No, not at all. There are very few straight lines. So yeah, where to start when you go back in something like that? I think it really started in a lot of ways in middle school. I read A Man for All Seasons, that particular play by Richard Bolt, and decided I was going to be an attorney just like Sir Thomas More. Fast forward through college, fast forward through law school, and I achieved my goal. Though in high school, I was told that there was no way that I would be able to achieve that goal because I am also dyslexic. And being a stubborn human, when you tell me I can't do something, I double down and figure out how to actually do it. So I went to the University of Virginia School of Law, graduated, and started work at a law firm in Boston, Massachusetts. Was there, I was going to save the world, and not quite a year in, was like, this is not what I expected it to be. So I came to that real crossroads of what do you do when the thing that you have wanted to do for years is not the thing that you want to do. So when I left the practice of law, I actually joined something called the Audubon Expedition Institute. I gave away all of my possessions. I lived in a big yellow school bus, and I studied the environment with a bunch of other students, some of us who were older and some of us who were, you know, young undergraduate students. Eventually, I left that in part because a family member had passed away. So I was coming back to help my great aunt kind of navigate that entire thing and decide, okay, what is next for me? And one of the things that I had always loved is writing, research, editing. Boston has a lot of think tanks, has a lot of things along those lines. And I thought, oh, I can get a job doing that. But the thing about those types of think tanks in Boston is that they also have a lot of universities and graduate students that you can pay with ramen noodles. So it took a while for me to figure out what my next step was going to be. I ultimately landed in the nonprofit sector, which I really enjoyed. And there, I was there when I met my first mentor, and she was a consultant in the nonprofit world. And I ended up working with her in part because it was, if I get bored, I get dangerous. I really like having constant learning. And the idea of working for multiple nonprofit organizations and as a consultant and being able to have my hands in a lot of pies was really attractive to me. So I worked there for a while, ultimately ended up working for one of our clients. And it was while I was working at one of the nonprofit organizations that I met my very first editor. And we were partnering on a project for the organization. And she said, well, would you like to write an article for the magazine? And at first I kind of looked around because I didn't expect that she was talking to me. I had never written for a magazine before. And she said, yes, I am talking to you. And I ended up starting to write for that magazine. And it was an amazing, I found my love, and she was an incredible mentor because she taught me how to write for magazines, how to pitch. She got me my first editing job. So it became one of those things that I have done that now for about 20 years, often on the side of whatever my work was. I was in marketing and advertising for my full-time job and then doing this freelance writing and editing on the side. So it was quite an experience.
Erica, were you looking for a mentor?
I don't know that I knew I could look for a mentor. So not intentionally. And yet that has been a theme throughout my career. Because I ask questions and I am very open to getting help, I have had a mentor at almost every step along the way. When I first ended up in the nonprofit sector, I was the director of marketing and development. I had come out of a law firm. I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't know anything about fundraising. And one of the women on the board took me under her wing. She was a marketing director for a large company in Boston. And I learned a ton from her. And then it was one of the people at a foundation who, same thing. I asked them a couple of questions and she just sort of helped show me the ropes and where I needed to go. So I've been fortunate in that several times I have found wonderful mentors simply by asking questions and being open to receiving help.
Yeah. So what advice might you have for others that are going through some kind of transition or struggling with a challenge to try to get more of what they want out of life? What advice would you have for them about asking questions and being open to get help?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is curiosity, and follow your curiosity. And don't worry if you think it sounds like a stupid question, because there really is no such thing. And when somebody asks, you think about how you react when somebody asks you a question. We love being helpful. We love being able to talk about our own experiences and what we've learned and being able to show somebody else like what might be interesting to them. So I think to some extent, it's really follow your own curiosity, but also don't be afraid to ask yourself those questions first. So one of the things I've done for over 10 years is I have a free writing practice. Every single morning, I do a 10-minute free writing practice, and it helps me think through anything that I am thinking about and helps me interrogate my own ideas and thoughts and beliefs and what I need. So I'd say be curious with yourself and interrogate your own thinking, but then also open up that door and be curious and talk to other folks as well.
Along the same lines, what I often hear from people is reluctance to follow their curiosity, particularly when they hear from those that are close to them. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, you had what sounds like a stellar legal career. And I'm willing to bet that when you left your law job, you probably heard some of that from people who, right? Yeah. People who are close to you and love you and care about you. And like, Erica, you're doing what?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially my law school loans were not paid off when I left the practice of law. So there was a lot of like, oh my gosh, how could you leave this very well-paying job with all of these student loans and frankly, jump into the abyss, because I didn't have a plan for what was going to be next. I had absolutely no idea. So, you know, again, I think that's one of the places where the more we can trust ourselves. And I was a journaler all as a kid. So I think part of that, you know, I do the free writing now, but I've always journaled. And I think part of that was helping me to know, okay, but I know this to be true for me. Like, I know that this is not a place that I can thrive. I know that if I stay too long, I will become somebody I don't want to become. And so it's one of those ideas of learning how to disappoint other people so we don't disappoint ourselves.
That's a key lesson.
And it's hard. It's a hard one lesson, and we get a lot of opportunities to practice.
We certainly do get a lot of opportunities to practice. So actually, let's fast forward to today and talk a little bit about the current state of your business, who it is you serve, what kinds of problems you solve, and how that fits into some of the key points we've just mentioned.
Yeah. So my last job working for somebody else, I was working for an ad agency, and I just started getting to the place where I was getting a little bit bored. The agency was growing, which in some ways meant that my responsibilities were shrinking a little bit. And when I'm bored, I'm not good for anybody. I'm not good for me. I'm not good for my coworkers. I start doing social experiments. It's not, you don't want a bored Erica on your team, because I become a detractor, not an adder. So I knew I was getting to that place and it was time for me to go. This was a friend of mine who owned the agency. So I was proud of the work that I had done helping her build it to where it was, but I knew it was time for me to go. And so when I left, I initially thought that I was going to start a content marketing company, because I had done mostly content marketing and advertising and copywriting for the last however many years. And I hired a coach to help me figure out, like, okay, how are we going to do this thing? What is this going to look like? And it was in one of our meetings that I said, oh, I'm so over marketing. And he said, well, that's a problem. And I said, yeah. And so he asked me to tell him about a project that I had worked on that I really, really enjoyed. And years before, this is not my first time being self-employed. Years before, I had worked with an environmental health and safety management consultant. And I had a friend who worked at a trade journal for that industry. And he was an editor. So my editor friend said, oh, well, we're looking for writers. And I was like, huh, I might have the perfect person for you. And so that was the first time I ever connected a consultant with a publication. And I loved everything about the project, because it allowed me to fully use this thing that until then had really been on the side, my writing and editing, as a core. And so when I told my coach this, he said, so why don't you do that? And I looked at him quizzically and said, well, why don't I do what? So it was one of those ideas that I had never considered. And so I did a little bit of very loosey-goosey research, talked to a few consultants who I knew, also talked to a few folks I know who are still in the editing world. And it was like, oh, this is really a thing. So I pivoted my business before I even started and started focusing on, okay, all of these publications are constantly looking for original high quality content from folks with boots on the ground experience. They have an established audience. They have an established reputation. And then you have all of these consultants who are so good at what they do and are trying to get their message out there to show how they are different, to make sure that they are being of service even in these articles. Well, here's a perfect way to match them up. So that's now what I get to do. And I get to learn from every consultant I work with because these folks work in areas that I know nothing about. And so their brains work differently. So it just, I'm never bored, which is also delightful.
Yeah, no, that's a very exciting pivot. Congratulations on figuring that out and getting it off the ground. So how long, how long have you been focusing on this particular kind of offering?
Yeah, this, I'm in my fifth year now.
So quite a while already.
Yes. And it's what I've loved about it is it just makes use of everything I already had and became one of those things where it's like, oh, you mean I can actually do this thing that I love to do and help others and be in that world. And, so it was sort of an interesting place to get and then realize that, oh, this is actually a thing and actually a need. And I can do it the way that I really want to, because there aren't many of us who do this. So, yeah.
Right. And particularly since it's your own business, you definitely get to do it the way you want to, right? As long as you can get enough clients.
Yeah, which is also such a nice thing to remember, because sometimes we'll paint ourselves into a corner and forget that it's like, wait a minute, this is my business. Like, I built this box. I can just knock out a wall if I want to and restructure it. So,
yeah. So what's coming next in your business, Erica? Speaking of knocking out walls, are you planning to keep doing things more or less the same, or the changes coming up?
Oh, there are always changes coming up. So a few years ago now, I was working solely one-on-one with folks and thought, oh, I will never have a group program ever, ever, ever. That's just not the way it works. And now two or three years ago now, I do have a group program that I absolutely love. And then it became, I will never have a community ever, ever, ever. And that's what's sort of in development now, in part because I couldn't let go of some of the folks who went through my group program and I wanted us to still be together. I wanted to continue to support one another, learn from one another. They had such a great camaraderie that I wanted to have a container that could help, you know, that could hold that and could keep that going as something of value. So to my own surprise, that's sort of what's coming up next, is figuring out, okay, what is this community going to look like? What are, you know, we've been experimenting with it, with the folks who have gone through my program so far in terms of what they find most valuable. And then it's like, okay, how do I put some officiality around this? How do I put some structure around this? So that's what's coming up next.
Yeah. No, it's good that you actually have people that you're kind of co-creating this with. It definitely makes it much easier, and it's likely to generate the kind of success that you want much faster.
Yeah. And it's fun because what I think is helpful is not always what other people find most helpful. So it's like, oh, you want more of this, not more. Like, I went more into the, you know, writing exercises and that kind of thing. And they're like, no, we really want more with editing. We want to be able to have an article written and edited every month. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like we can, I can adjust this. So that's fun as well, because it's not just me directed. It's feedback from folks who, you know, we've now known each other for a year and a half, 2 years. So feedback from folks who I know well, they know me, there's a lot of trust already there. So it can be like, okay, cool. Yes, I can do that. If that's what's more valuable, cool, let's go there.
Yeah, we've discovered the same thing with our community, that I had some ideas of what I thought our audience wanted. And in some cases, I've been right. In other cases, I've been wrong. And it really takes listening to the members of your community and people that want to be part of this to offer what they want and to really be able to support them successfully.
Yeah. And that's the same even before the community is listening to the folks we serve. Like,
absolutely.
We think we have ideas and sometimes, yes, sometimes we're spot on and sometimes we are so far off the mark. So,
yeah. Tell me a little bit about how community has helped you as a participant or as a leader in a community that you're part of.
Yeah, it is absolutely critical. Being an entrepreneur can be a lonely place. It can be very isolating if you don't have other folks around you, especially if you don't know a lot of other people who have started their own business. So having community has been that place where when I get in my own head, and I'll call it spin cycle, I'll sort of start obsessing about one thing and I kind of get stuck in that. I now have a group of people I can go to and they can just like bump me right out of spin cycle so that I'm going back into forward motion. Or if something is particularly difficult, if you come upon, because this will happen, an unexpected personal challenge that has a tremendous impact on your business, your community, they're the folks who can help you navigate that and navigate it well without just really, really damaging yourself and your ability to do this. So I have both community. I have sought out community both locally. I moved in the middle of the pandemic. I don't recommend that idea, but that's what I did to be closer to family. And so now I've been really focused on figuring out community locally. And there's a makerspace in town. So I joined the makerspace and I'm making stained glass and there's a wood shop and I'm using tools that I am terrified of. So there's that community, which is here and local. And that kind of helps with, it just helps ground me here. And then I have online communities of other entrepreneurs. And it can look so many different ways. And those are the folks where I can go to them and just say, like, I'm in a jam. I think I'm in my head. Like, help. Or I can just say, hey, I'm having a bad day. Or I can say, hey, this amazing thing happened to me today. And you have somebody to celebrate it with you who understands how big a deal it is. Because as much as our friends and family want to support us, a lot of my family members don't understand what I do. So it's sort of like, she's in her home office. She does things. She has clients. She's excited about it, but they don't really know the ins and outs and how it works and all of that kind of thing. So having community has been absolutely essential.
Erica, what's one thing that a corporate refugee can do today that would help them move forward?
So what I would start doing today is start writing. And I don't mean writing to share with anybody. I mean writing to really figure out what is it that you're looking for? Why do you want to be a corporate refugee? What do you want that to look like? Because your business can look so many different ways and you get to define success and you get to define what you value and you get to define those pieces. But it's a whole lot easier to do that if you know what you want that to look like going forward. So I would say really taking the time to, and it can be a simple exercise, like my 10-minute free writing exercise every morning. And it does two things. It helps you figure out what you think and what you believe. I always say writing isn't about the ink, it's about the think. So it helps you figure out that. But it also helps you get into this habit of keeping your commitments to yourself. Because once you start a business, there's nobody forcing you to go to that networking event or go to that meeting or take this class or hire that person, or there's nobody there doing that. And it's very, very easy for us to, at least this is something that I have struggled with tremendously, is I would block out time in my calendar to work on my business or to work on something important to me. And then if I got a call, it would, oh no, I can just schedule over it because it's not a big deal. So learning how to keep and getting into that habit, because I do think it's a practice of keeping our commitments to ourselves, helps make that a whole lot easier. And if you have friends and family and you make commitments to them, it also helps get you into that practice as well, because it's very easy to say, I'm too busy, so I can't do X, Y, Z. So if you know what your values are from the beginning and you start practicing keeping a commitment to yourself, I think that'll help tremendously. I did neither of those things, so I was a hot mess for a while. But
yeah, that's such a valuable piece of advice. And Erica, I can't thank you enough. We've covered a lot of territory in a short amount of time about your own story and how to connect your passion with something that will support your lifestyle, and to do it in a way that is in alignment with your values. So I really thank you for tying all those pieces together. And before we go, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today or access any resources you might have, where is the best place for them to go?
So first is my website. It's catchlinecommunications.com. You can find all of the things there. And then the second place is I'm on LinkedIn, and that's where I'm most active. So I'd love to connect with folks over on LinkedIn.
Sounds great. Erica, thank you again for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest has been the founder of Catchline Communications, Erica Holthausen. Thank you, Erica, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.